Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Please be seated. Lord Jesus, dear Lord and Savior, once again we open your word in your presence and ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds. Please be merciful. We still need you, and we trust you. And I pray that you will open my mouth to speak your word and your word alone. And that you would use this vessel with all its limitations to bring glory to your name. You are our perfect Savior, our example. And you've accomplished for us everything that we needed and that we could not accomplish by ourselves. Please speak to us, and may the Holy Spirit bless us this morning. I pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, my plan for the sermon is to preach on the first part of this passage when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. So I'm going to expose verses 1 through 4, though I read the whole passage, so just to give us more context. So Jesus is taken to the desert, to the wilderness, to be tempted. And there he is tempted. And there is a lot at stake here. If he fails, if he would, well, we know the story, but he was going to the desert and he couldn't fail. In the previous chapters of Luke, we are given a clear picture of Jesus as the Son of God, the one that is fully God and fully man, the promised Savior who came to seek and save the lost. So in chapter 1, the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she will give birth to the Son of God. What an announcement. Well, he says, chapter 1, verses 32 and following, he says, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. So Jesus is God, the Son of the Highest, the second person of the Trinity. And the angel says, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So he's not only God, he's fully God, but he will receive the throne of his father David. So he's a man, a human descendant of David. Fully man, fully God. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. In verse 35, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So this is how Luke is introducing Jesus. Fully man, fully God. This is the Son of God. No ordinary man. Chapter 2. An angel of the Lord announces to country shepherds the birth of Jesus. Like this, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Fully man, fully God, the Son of God, a Savior. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die before seeing the Christ of God. Remember that? When Jesus' parents brought him to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord according to the law that was given to Moses. Luke 2, verses 28. Through 30, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So in the first three chapters of Luke, Jesus is revealed to us as the God-man, who is the Savior of the world. But in chapter 3, the greater testimony comes directly from God the Father Himself. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan, Luke 3:22, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove, upon him, upon Jesus, which means endorsing, confirming, qualifying Jesus' ministry. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. And then Luke ends the third chapter with a genealogy declaring that Jesus is the son of Adam, the son of God, man, God, Savior, receiving all the power of the Holy Spirit to do his earthly ministry. And Jesus knows very well who he is. He is our perfect Savior. And He is our perfect example of obedience. So Jesus is introduced as the God-man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, fully human, fully God, the perfect Savior. He's baptized, and you have the display of the three persons of the Trinity. And that marvelous baptism, you have the Son, Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit coming down. And you have the Father speaking from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." What a glorious baptism. And now He's ready for His earthly ministry. And He knows He's taking a path that will lead Him to the cross. But now it's beginning. That's the beginning of His earthly ministry. There He goes. And the first thing, the first place that God sends Him is to the wilderness. To meet with the devil. And there is no other reason for God to allow His Son to go to the desert to be tempted, if not in the very beginning of His ministry, to present to us a perfect, spotless Savior. One that sets the example for every one of us. That temptation in the desert happened. It took place because of us. Because of what God wanted to reveal to us. In the temptation of Jesus, we see that He is our perfect Savior. Earlier this morning, we just saw in the Word of God that we cannot do anything to be saved. We cannot be saved if we rely on our own deeds. We need a perfect Savior, a perfect man, to be righteous in our place, because we cannot be righteous. We need a righteous, perfect Savior. One that does not fail. One that is without sin. In the temptation of Jesus, He is revealed as a perfect Savior. This spotless Lamb of God that walks to the cross to die in our place. Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit that just came down upon Him led Him into the wilderness. And there He was tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, He ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. Or he became hungry. Our perfect Savior was full of the Holy Spirit. John 3:34, "For He whom God hath sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And now listen, my brothers and sisters, temptation does not fall only upon those who are stumbling in their faith. Temptation does not fall only upon those who are not reading their Bibles and who are not praying. And if you're stumbling in your faith, if you're not reading your Bibles, if you're not praying, well, there won't be any spiritual strength You lack this spiritual food. And the blessings that come upon those means. Then, when you're tempted, you are going to fall. It's going to be hard not to fall. But even if you were full of the Holy Spirit, temptation will come upon you anyway. It came upon Jesus. How full of the Spirit was Jesus? A perfect man. And temptation fell upon him. But you know, temptation itself is not a sin. Hebrews 4:15 says that for we do not have a high priest. And the author of Hebrews is talking about Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But was in all points, in all things, tempted. He was in all things tempted as we are, yet without sin. So if temptation comes upon you, don't allow the devil, don't let the devil say, see, I told you. I told you you were a mediocre believer. A hypocrite. I told you. No, don't let a devil or anyone say that to you. You might as well be walking with the Lord, be full of the Holy Spirit, and still temptation will come. Our perfect Savior was full of the Holy Spirit. But our perfect Savior was also led by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit took him, led him into the wilderness to be tempted, to meet with the devil. And remember, the devil did not tempt Jesus in the end of the 40 days. Verse 2 says that he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. So the devil was there tempting him from day one. He became hungry in the end of those 40 days. Then he became hungry. Our perfect Savior was led by the Holy Spirit. Temptations are part of God's sovereign plan. He will allow it to happen. He will give permission to the devil to tempt you. So if Jesus followed the leading of the Spirit, so should we, trusting that even our trials and temptations, they are under God's sovereign control. So the leading of the Holy Spirit brought Jesus into the desert and put him into conflict with the tempter. At the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit led him through the wilderness. Not just into it, but also in it. Guiding Jesus throughout his time of testing. So the Holy Spirit did not just send Jesus there. He was there with Jesus. Our perfect Savior was full of the Holy Spirit. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. So it was in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus fought the devil. James chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It is God's sovereign plan to send us into the wilderness. James 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires or lust and enticed. Then, when desire, lust, or lust have conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So God will allow you to be tempted by the devil. He will not himself tempt you. He will not cause you to fall. He will be there, strengthening you, giving you all the spiritual power that you need to overcome temptation, like he was with Jesus. But now here's the thing. If Jesus failed, if he had failed here, if Jesus failed here, then he would become a sinner. And then there will be no righteous Savior for us. No sacrifice that would be acceptable by God. No resurrection. No righteousness that could be inputted or given to us. No hope of eternal life. But now listen, the temptation of Jesus, my brothers and sisters, it was real. So Jesus was not God pretending to be a man. He was a true man. Fully man. Fully man. Fully God. But fully man. And he was truly tempted. But as a perfect man, he did not sin. And this is why I believe that God sent him into the desert to be tempted. Jesus' temptation was not a test to see if he would fail. He could not fail. It was not a test to see if he would fail. It was a demonstration that he could not fail. Here is your Savior, fully God, fully man, a perfect Savior who cannot fail, who cannot fall into sin. He is truly righteous. And because he is truly righteous, we believe and we have hope that his righteousness imparted to us makes us also righteous before God. And then we can have this hope of eternal life. If Jesus had failed, we wouldn't have a righteous Savior, a perfect Savior. Our perfect Savior was full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and he succeeded. He did not fail. He succeeded where Adam failed. Romans 5:17 through 19. If by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. resulting in justification, not for life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. What a contrast. Adam and then Jesus, who is also called the second Adam. Adam was in the garden. Jesus was in the wilderness. The garden. The wilderness. Can you picture the contrast? The garden. Adam was in the garden. He could eat as much as he wanted. Jesus was in the wilderness. Adam knew no hunger. And he sinned. Jesus was hungry. And he knew no sin. We have a Savior who is not like the first Adam. We have a perfect Savior. And the devil made three temptations that related to provision, to power, and to protection. And we're not going to go through it all. I'm going to focus on verses 3 and 4. The devil tempted him. He tempted our perfect Savior. And then our perfect Savior is also our perfect example of obedience. He showed us the way to overcome temptation. Luke 4, verses 3 and 4, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God," well, come on. Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3. God, man, the Son of God, Son of man, perfect Savior. The Father is speaking from heaven. "This is my beloved Son." What kind of temptation is that? If you are the Son of man. So command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, can you imagine not having anything to eat for 40 days? No sugar, no coffee. In the desert. But what was the temptation? Jesus, if you were the Son of God, was that the temptation? Jesus' sonship? Well, he knew who he was. The Father just told him, "You are my beloved Son." So is that the temptation? "Oh, you are not God, you are just a man." Well, note the first word in the quotation. Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man. So Jesus shows himself to us as a man. I am a man standing against the devil. And I just read before, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points, in all things, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus did not resist the temptation of Satan by the superior power of his deity. He overcame temptation in all the weakness of his humanity. He told Satan, "Man, shall not live by bread alone. That would be easy for him, right? Well, I am God. How dare you tempting me? But there he was, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, brothers and sisters, gives us hope. If God had gone to that desert and overcame the devil, well, he's God, but I cannot do it. But Jesus was sent there as a man, and he overcame temptation. Hebrews 2:18, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He was sent there as a man. But he knew who he was. Our perfect Savior trusted and obeyed the Father. When the people of God, when Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God gave his people manna from heaven. But the people should follow, they were supposed to follow very specific instructions. So they should gather as much food as they needed for the day. But they would get more in order to save it for the next day. They were supposed to gather what they needed for the day, but they would be given more to save it for the next day. And whatever they saved, whatever they would save for the next day would breed worms. Exodus 16:22 says, on the day before the Sabbath, they should gather twice as much bread and save it for the next day. And then some of the people would go out on the seventh day together, but they would find nothing. So there was a specific day where they should gather more, and then those who wouldn't would have nothing on the seventh day. And they also shouldn't keep anything for the next day. Otherwise, it would be spoiled. And you shall remember, Deuteronomy 8 says, that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know the man, know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So can you see the lesson here? The people of God were not sustained by the manna they gathered. If they would try to gather manna and save it for the next day, it would spoil. And then on the seventh day, they didn't have to do that work. He could gather, he could save it on the sixth day, and then they would have it for the next day. The people of God, they were not sustained in the wilderness for 40 years by the manna they gathered. They were sustained by trusting and obeying God. And that was what Jesus did. He trusted God to provide for his physical needs. He trusted and obeyed. When he was arrested, Matthew 26, verses 51 says, 51 through 53 says, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? My brothers and sisters, He could make bread appear, show up out of nowhere. He could make His hunger disappear. No more hunger. He could make that. He would just pray to His Father. God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Luke 3, verse 8. But Jesus trusted and obeyed the Lord. He wasn't supposed to eat. Let's get to that temptation. Our perfect Savior was tempted to take matters into His own hands as the Son of God, apart from the Father's will. The devil told Him, well, if You were the Son of God, do something. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but when I am tempted, the devil doesn't come to me with very obvious things. Like, oh, do you see this money here? It belongs to the church. Why don't you steal it? Come on, you need it. That's too obvious, and that's an area that, we're all weak and we depend on the Lord all the time, but that's an area where the devil would have to try harder. But He doesn't do that. When He comes to tempt us, He's very persuasive. When He tempted Adam and Eve, He didn't say, well, why don't you just eat from this tree and die and lose your innocence and be doomed. He didn't do that. It almost seemed that He cared for Adam and Eve. Again, this is just for the sake of illustration. The Bible does not reveal these words, but I could just imagine, just for us to understand how that temptation felt in Adam and Eve's hearts. It's like the devil would come and say, are you sure that God loves you? Because, you know, I know better. He's hiding something very important from you. He doesn't want you to know. You know that the day you eat from this tree, you will be like Him. He doesn't care for you. He doesn't want you to be like Him. He's very jealous of who He is. He doesn't want another one like you. Of course you are not going to die. He lied to you. I care for you. I don't know. I don't think that when Satan met with Jesus in the desert, he did. Well, you know that you have a plan, and I just came here to ruin it. Right? Eat, disobey your Father, and I win. There will be no perfect Savior. And what I did with Adam and Eve is going to be forever for everyone. There will be no Savior. Come on. Ha ha ha, with the thorns. He wouldn't do that. I do believe that it was something like this. Again, just for the sake of illustration. Jesus, can't you see the madness of this? It's been 40 days. If you are the Son of God, you know who you are. This doesn't make any sense. You are God. Don't you think that the Father is hiding something from you?
I think he's out of his mind. This is madness. Stop it now. You can turn this bread, this stone into bread anytime. You can make bread show up out of nowhere. You don't have to be like this. You are God. Does it make sense to you? Do you think that coming to the desert and suffering like that belongs to a king? I can help you. Please stop this madness. Take matters into your own hands. The Father doesn't care. He's not with you. He's not with you. He abandoned you here. Come on. That would be more persuasive, right? Jesus had, and he has, the divine right to make his own choices, to decide what and when to eat. But in his heart, Jesus knew that, well, if God wants me to live, because I know, if I keep doing this, I am eventually going to die here. But well, if God wants me to live, he will feed me. When it's time to leave the wilderness, the Holy Spirit will lead me. He led me into the wilderness. He will lead me out of it. Satan was not questioning the fact of Jesus' divine sonship, but he was tempting him to misuse that divine sonship. Satan was tempting Jesus to rely on his own self-provision rather than on the provision of God. But Jesus often insisted in the Gospels that he would do nothing of his own will. He came to do the Father's will only. If Jesus would do whatever he wanted just to stop that madness, so to speak, okay, I'm going to take matters on my own hands. I'm going to eat. I'm hungry. And I am God. So if he would have done that, he would have been departed from the mission on which the Father had sent him. Instead of being dependent on God, he would exercise his independence. Sort of way, Jesus also trusted the Father like a child. Luke 22:42, Father, not my will, but yours be done. John 5:30, I can of myself. Oh, this is Jesus talking. I can of myself do nothing. Nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. John 8:28, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus did not take matters into his own hands. He was led to the wilderness so that God would show to us
that our Lord Jesus is the perfect Savior who cannot sin. The righteousness that He accomplished and acquired and now belongs, was given to us. That's a real righteousness that came from a perfect Savior. And He was also sent to the desert to be an example for us. In the desert, the devil tried to make Him follow His own will and desires, and He said, "No. I will eat of My Father's word. That's My food. My Father's will is My food. And if He wants Me to die here, then I die. I'm not going to disobey Him. I'm being led by Him." And whenever He wants me to get out of this, then He will lead me out of it. Jesus did not take matters into His own hands. So He was a perfect Savior. He did not sin. He overcame temptation, obeying, but not as a God who could overcome temptation because He was God, but as a man with the power of the Holy Spirit, the same way we can do it. And He showed us how to do it. Trust in God's word, in God's promises, in God's will, not your own. That's how we overcome temptation. So yes, temptation will come upon you, or the many trials that God would send us to, and they will come. But notice, Jesus is in the fight. When temptation comes, know that Jesus is in the fight, and that He Himself overcame the worst of all temptations. By the way, do you think it was easy for Him? Of course He could not sin. But how much does it take for the devil to tempt you or me, or to make any of us fall? How hard does He have to push us? We are sinners. We are saved by grace. And we can rely on God's aid. We have full access to all the power, all the spiritual power that we need to overcome all temptations. But we know that it doesn't take much for us to sin. But when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about someone that cannot sin. So it's like an immovable object. How can you move it? How hard do you have to push to move an immovable object? How hard? You see, the devil threw all that he had upon Jesus. He came to Jesus with full strength. Hell. Everything thrown upon Jesus. He tried as hard as he could. and Jesus overcame it. And we have access to the same spiritual power that Jesus had. So let that encourage you. When temptation comes, Jesus is with us in the fight. But in order to do that, saturate your life with Scripture. That's how Jesus overcame temptation. We learn from Jesus' response to the temptations exactly how we are to respond. With the Word of God. I trust the Word of God. So you have to saturate your life with it. Our Lord was tempted in all things, yet without sin. And because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, we should expect to meet temptation in your Christian journey. So, again, saturate your life with Scriptures. There is a quote from J.C. Ryle. Let it never surprise us if we are tempted by the devil. Let us rather expect it as a matter of course. If we are living members of Christ, the master's lot will be the lot of his disciples. But Jesus is with us in the fight. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And let me finish reading a quote again from J.C. Ryle. This is a truth that stands out prominently in this passage. Jesus has been really and literally tempted himself. It was proper that he who came to destroy the works of the devil should begin his own work with a special conflict with Satan. It was proper that a great shepherd and bishop of souls should be fitted for his earthly ministry by strong temptation, as well as by the word of God and prayer. But above all, it was proper that the great high priest and advocate of sinners should be one who has had personal experience of conflict and has known what it is to be in the fire. And this was the case with Jesus. It is written that he suffered being tempted. How much he suffered, we cannot tell. But that his pure and spotless nature did suffer intensely, we may be sure. Let all true Christians take comfort in the thought that they have a friend in heaven who can be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. When they pour out their hearts before the throne of grace and groan under the burdens which daily harass them, there is one making intercession for them who knows their sorrows. So let us take courage, my brothers and sisters. He knows what we mean when we complain of temptation, and is both able and willing to give us help. Let's pray.